This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Gillette Jacobs with Lim Soo Ann and Dashaun Johan with me. Before this, we were talking about, you know, how some people may have lost their spark for life and, you know, how to kind of overcome that. You know, Professor Hugh Gill, who we spoke to, had some really good advice for all of us to kind of find meaning in what we're doing. But now onto a very different story. And we have a social media question, a Twitter poll actually running on that.
So we're celebrating Roald Dahl Day today on the Daily Digest. So we're asking you if you enjoyed his books. Right now, 83% of you say yes, they're lick swishy. 12% of you say meh, they're not muches. And there's 5% of you who say no, you don't enjoy his books, they're crot squinkly. So you can still take that poll on Twitter at BFM Radio. And you can also tell us your favourite Roald Dahl books and WhatsApp them to us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, that's right. So yesterday, the 13th of September, was Roald Dahl Day. And in case you aren't familiar with the beloved English children's book author or just need a little reminder, here's a quick refresher.
Poor James was still slaving away at the chopping block. The heat was terrible. He was sweating all over. His arm was aching. The chopper was a large, blunt thing, far too heavy for a small boy to use. And as he worked, James began thinking about all the other children in the world and what they might be doing at this moment. Some would be riding tricycles in their gardens. Some would be walking in cool woods and picking bunches of wild flowers. And all the little friends whom he used to know would be down by the seaside playing in the wet sand and splashing around on the water. Great tears began oozing out of James's eyes and rolling down his cheeks. He stopped working and leaned against the chopping block, overwhelmed by his own unhappiness.
"What's the matter with you?"
Aunt Spiker screeched, glaring at him over the top of her steel spectacles. James began to cry.
"Stop that immediately and get on with your work, you nasty little beast. Ugh."
"Oh, Auntie Sponge and Auntie Spiker, couldn't we all please just for once go down to the seaside on the bus? It isn't very far. And I feel so hot and awful and lonely."
"Why, you lazy good-for-nothing brute."
"Beat him, beat him."
"I certainly will."
Aunt Spiker snapped. She glared at James and James looked back at her with large, frightened eyes.
"I shall beat you later on in the day when I don't feel so hot. And now get out of my sight, you disgusting little worm, and give me some peace."
James turned and ran. He ran off as fast as he could to the far end of the garden and hid himself behind that clump of dirty old laurel bushes that we mentioned earlier on. Then he covered his face with his hands and began to cry and cry.
So if those voices sounded familiar, that was director Taika Waititi and actors Chris and Liam Hemsworth reading a bit of Roald Dahl's James and the Giant Peach. So it's part of a full reading of the book by Taika and a host of celebrities that was released during the global lockdown, which you can check out on Roald Dahl HQ on YouTube.
Yes, and just from that little bit alone, you get a sense of just what makes Dahl's work so different and distinctive and, of course, so appealing to children. You know, there are interesting, imaginative kids, exciting adventures, lots of humour and outlandish situations, hilarious made-up words, and some pretty awful adults. You know, that I think was quite throughout most of his books. And if you've read any of his books, you might still giggle at the thought of letting out a whiz popper after taking a sip of Frobscottle, or marvel at the thought of a giant waterfall churning chocolate. That's one of my favourite memories.
But perhaps what makes his stories so enduring and memorable is that they are also pretty darn dark. I mean, think about it. James was an orphan who was abused by his guardians. Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory lived in abject poverty. Matilda from the book of the same name was neglected and emotionally abused by her own parents. And Sophie from the BFG was a lonely orphan who risked literally being eaten by bloodthirsty giants, while the big friendly giant in the same book was terribly bullied. So this is heavy stuff even for adults, don't you guys think?
Oh, definitely. And I just find that a lot with children's books, you know, they do tend to deal with some very dark themes. Any Disney movie that you watch, for example, some parent has died, some family, there's always some tragedy that starts it off. But I love Roald Dahl, you know, and I grew up reading them, and it really sparked a love for reading for me as well. And somehow I think throughout all the darkness, what actually I guess I didn't notice the darkness even as a young child. You just kind of read it and like, oh, okay, that's that. But it always came out all right in its own kind of weird way. But so that kind of made it better for me. But I don't know about you guys. Did you like it?
I'm pretty much in the same boat as you, where when I'm reading it as a child, I'm not actively thinking about all these dark elements, but I think somewhere it sort of helps me process this, you know, at the back of my mind. It sort of, I don't know, subliminally sort of like puts this, makes me understand it, that when I see these things in real life or when I hear the news or when my parents explain something to me, it sort of makes it easier to process because I've read it in a sort of tamer sort of way in Roald Dahl's books. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't read much of his works. And unfortunately, I've only read James and the Giant Peach and seen a few movies. but yeah, it's really interesting how these dark themes are woven in, right? And it's sort of an interesting way to teach kids about these themes at a young age without making it too gloom and doom.
Yeah, for me, it was just like, okay, so this is a clear case of this is the bad guy, that is the good guy. And, you know, you just immerse yourself in the story and then you're like, oh, okay, we can't wait till bad things happen to these people and, you know, that the good ones come out victorious in the end.
I mean, we're not the only ones so taken by Dahl's works. He's considered to be the most popular English children's book author since Enid Blyton. I mean, you could argue J.K. Rowling, but she's only really known for one series. Roald Dahl is one of the world's best-selling authors, and he's been referred to as one of the greatest storytellers for children of the 20th century. I mean, his books have sold more than 250 million copies worldwide, and the biggest seller of all his books is, not surprisingly, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Dahl was awarded the 1983 World Fantasy Award for Life Achievement, and in 2008, The Times placed Dahl 16th on its list of the 50 greatest British writers since 1945. And so far, six of his books have been made into movies, and it's estimated that he still sells 10 million copies of his books every year.
Amazing.
And Roald Dahl Day is an annual celebration started by the Roald Dahl Story Company to honour his legacy and continue sharing his stories with children around the world. So while this does of course include promoting his books, many of the activities centred around this day are free, including free readings, book excerpts and activity suggestions, which are all available on RoaldDahl.com. So the company also runs the Roald Dahl's Marvelous Children's Charity, which focuses on children's healthcare.
Yes, and just getting back to that darkness that we find in his books, you know, many people speculate that it comes from his own experiences in his life. So Dahl was born in 1916 in Wales to Norwegian immigrant parents, and his father and sister both died when he was just 3 years old. A few years later, he was sent to boarding school, where he went through terrible bullying and even beatings, which he wrote about in his autobiographical book, Boy. He was also a fighter pilot during World War II, which gave him insight into the violence and terror of that time. So it's no surprise that even when writing for children, Dahl seemed to innately understand that life was not all fun and joy, and that children really needed to be prepared for that too.
And in many ways, he was continuing a tradition that already existed in older children's stories and folktales, I mean, such as the Grimm's fairy tales that warned of the world's dangers, or Hans Christian Andersen's stories that often centered on loss and grief. So child psychologist Bruno Bettelheim once said about dark fairy tales that they help children make sense of their own feelings of anger, resentment and powerlessness, and that it teaches them to confront humanity's own negative aspects. But Bettelheim adds that they also provide comfort by allowing the child to emerge victorious when they face obstacles and remain steadfast.
And in a year like this, where we are inundated with so much bad news and are all collectively feeling rather trapped and powerless, it seems like a particularly good time to introduce children to Dahl's books, especially since in Dahl's works, all this is woven into stories that are also mischievous and sly and laugh-out-loud funny. He's legendary for his usage of words, including his many made-up ones, as you know, we brought up a couple earlier, and for his gloriously grotesque descriptions. And what better way to entertain all those kids stuck mostly indoors than to introduce them to a new book about giant peaches or a chocolate factory or a boy who invents magical medicine.
Yes. And to get some insight into Dahl's books, we have on the line with us children's books author Heidi Shamsuddin. Thanks for joining us, Heidi. So to start, you know, in your opinion, what makes Roald Dahl's books so enduring and beloved even till today?
He was famously known as an author who wrote humorous fantasy stories for children, but his writing was creative, it was cynical and witty, and I think because of that, some critics have described his writing as kind of violent and cruel, But I think this is the reason why children loved it, and it's certainly why I was drawn to his books. So I think in an interview, he once said that his only purpose in writing books for children is firstly, to encourage them to read, and secondly, to basically entertain them. He didn't want to indoctrinate them in any way. He never talked down to his readers. He never preached. And this really is the secret to why children love his books. It wasn't preachy. He was just telling a good story. And then his writing is just vivid and alive. I don't think there's any other writer since then who has this particular style. He has his own style. So and his writing was dark, and it appealed to it certainly appealed to me, but I think it appeals to a lot of children. For example, The Witches, I think is Dahl's most terrifying piece of writing. It scared me as a child reading it. So the witches themselves are monstrous and cruel, and they turn the main character, the boy, into a mouse. Mm-hmm. But even in the end, when the witches have been defeated, the narrator is still, he's still stuck as a mouse forever. So the book ends with the little boy turned mouse and his grandmother discussing how they'll die together in about 9 years because magic mice don't live that long. So that's very, very grim. His books are full of the grotesque, and I think the themes mirror kind of fairy tales, dark fairy tales, which is something I'm drawn to.
Hmm. But that said, his books also deal with some pretty dark themes, you know, things like death, poverty, abandonment, and most recurrently awful adults. So what makes these so appealing to children?
In most of his books, so the central theme is this solitary child, this lonely child at the mercy of cruel adults. So I think he has an ability to tap into a child's emotion. He really understood that a child needed to explore sort of both the light and the dark side, so to speak. He believed that children could experience both love and hate towards their parents or their guardians. So through his stories, he actually allows the child to experience that strong emotion of love as well as hatred or resentment, because, you know, children do sometimes feel that way towards their parents, but he allows them to experience this through his stories. So I think that's one of the reasons why it appeals to children, these dark themes. He also, a lot of his books criticize authority figures, so parents and social institutions like schools, for example. So as a result, his books are quite popular with young teenagers, with children, maybe preteen children, because they're going through a difficult period. They're going through a period of confusion and rebellion. And, you know, these kids are often complaining about the behavior of adults around them. So his harsh treatment of adults and his mocking approach, I suppose, towards authority figures like headmasters, for example, it mirrors that feeling. It resonates with them. So this is also another reason why these books appeal to young children. Mm. And then on top of that, you have this idea that the hero is a child who is basically capable of doing things that seem impossible. So the smaller, more vulnerable child, he's able to outwit the big, scary adult. I suppose, an analogy would be like our Sankanchil tales. You know, the smaller animal can outwit the bigger lion and the crocodile. So there's always something something that about that kind of story which resonates with especially younger readers. So Charlie, George, Matilda, James, Danny, they all find themselves in situations where they have to use their wit, their intelligence, their imagination to overcome their problems. And this is why we gain so much pleasure from these books. So the books always end happily, except for the witches, I suppose, mm-hmm. with the triumph of the child over the adult. So this, I think, gives tremendous amount of power to the child reader.
And meanwhile, as parents, you know, what should the role of parents be as their children read themes like these? You know, do they need to be involved or to guide them?
I don't think so. Obviously, it depends on the child, and the parents will know best what their child needs. But for me, in my experience, I prefer to leave my children to sort of discover the themes in the books. I mean, obviously, you should tell them that you're available to if they need to discuss anything. I tell my kids, you know, you can read anything you want, and if anything disturbs you or you're confused about anything, feel free to talk to me about it. I make myself available to them to discuss things that maybe they're not comfortable with, or they don't they can't compute in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't forbid any type of book, because I know eventually they'll have access to all types of reading materials. So you can't stop them, not in this day and age anyway, and nor should you. So I think it depends on the child. But for me, I would allow them to discover the themes themselves, because I think in a way, if they can discover that knowledge themselves or that piece of information, they own that knowledge and it sticks with them longer than if I were to point it out, you know.
So what is the value in children discovering themes and ideas like these in books?
Speaking in terms of children's books in general, I think children's literature, it actually helps young readers to understand and explore their own thoughts. It helps them to understand the world, to make sense of the world. It's a bit like, you know, when our parents used to tell us bedtime stories or, you know, fairy tales. It is, those stories are a way to kind of teach children or younger readers about the world around us. So it offers a form of escapism in certain circumstances. Perhaps it can help them cope with trauma or even give a voice to trauma. So it's quite, for me, it's quite a therapeutic tool, I suppose, because books, children's books, it provides a platform for children to experience emotions which can be looked down upon, which can be frowned down upon, maybe feelings like, you know, anger or hatred, rebellion, jealousy. These are all feelings that as parents, we don't want our children to dwell on. We tell them to, you know, just buck up and be happy and work hard, etc. But, you know, these are real emotions, feelings of anger and hatred. These are feelings that, you know, we're humans. We can't help but have those kind of emotions. So children's literature, reading books, it allows the child to sort of, through the characters in a book, the child can immerse himself or herself in these emotions, these dark emotions, and explore these emotions in a safe place. And also it can provide relief, maybe like a catharsis in certain circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I remember as a child reading Roald Dahl, because I grew up on Roald Dahl. I had, you know, tremendous joy and relief reading these books because of this notion. I didn't know it at the time, of course, but this was essentially what was happening.
And in a year that has been particularly challenging for most of us, do you see a renewed relevance for books like Dahl's?
I think especially at this time, books form an important role in that it allows us to escape to another place. It's a, like I said earlier, it's a form of escapism. I suppose the cheapest way of going on holiday at the moment. We're now stuck at home, so we're unable to travel, but we have books and stories at our fingertips, and we should use it. And obviously there are people who look down on this idea of using books as a form of escapism, because I think they believe that books should be used to educate and increase knowledge, etc. But, and obviously that's true as well. Books have that role. But, you know, if you are in the depths of despair, if you're bored out of your mind, if you have no one to talk to about your problems, and your only friend lives in the pages of a book, then what harm is there in seeking that out? If that makes you feel better for a little while, if that gives you like a brief respite from life, that a difficult life, and it allows you to maintain your sanity, then I'm all for escapism through books. I think I read somewhere about a woman in a group of women in a concentration camp during the Second World War in Europe. Someone had snuck in a copy of Gone with the Wind. Mm-hmm. And for 1 hour a day, these ladies managed to read a bit of that book and escape their terrible lives. I mean, if they were discovered, they would have probably been killed. It was a banned item. And but they risked their lives just to be able to read this book and escape for 1 hour every day. And they interviewed one of these women after the war, and she said that book essentially saved her life. It stopped her from killing herself. It gave her some kind of hope. So I think it's important.
Thanks, Heidi. That was Heidi Shamsuddin, children's books books author, and of course, a Roald Dahl fan. So over on Twitter, we were asking you if you enjoyed his books. About 86% of you say yes, they're leg swishy. 10% of you say meh, they're not muches. But 4% of you say no, they're crot squinkly. And you can still take that poll on Twitter at BFM Radio. We receive a couple of tweets as well. We have Deborah Augustine saying that Matilda was a foundational text for me. And I also think that his adult short stories were formative for me as a writer. We also have Christine who echoed that and saying that Matilda is amazing, and I also had Roald Dahl's audiobooks on tape as a kid as well. I love his work. We have Lynn Mark saying that it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I'm still hoping for my golden ticket.
You and me both, Lynn. You and me both.
Well, we have our very own Sharmila Gunnison saying, how do I even pick one? But in a pinch, I'd say the terrifying, fascinating and glorious The Witches. And over on Twitter, we have Mike TV, who says that my favourite book by Roald Dahl is Danny, the Champion of the World, because it's real but in a Dahl type of way. We have Cheryl, who says that I've been feeling nostalgic over my school choral reading of Cinderella from Roald Dahl's Revolting Rhymes, and this was many years ago when I was still a small human being. As a child, I connected with the theme in many of his books that children with their imagination and creativity always manage to outwit and trump the dull, stodgy-dodgy adults. But we also have Khairul Nizam saying that his adult writings make you think how someone like that could write children's books. They're masochistic, sometimes racist, but those were written at a different era.
I didn't read many of his books for adults, actually, but yeah. I know they were quite risque, some of them. You know, it involved very adult themes, so I did miss it, but I guess I need to go and revisit those and see what's happening there.
I guess along those lines, you know, I've said earlier I've not read much of his work, but what about you two? You know, what are your favourite books?
I have to echo Lynn, and my favourite is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as well, and I too am waiting for my golden ticket, just like I'm waiting for my Harry Potter letter from Hogwarts that hasn't arrived, so now I'm just wondering, like, why?
What is this cruel, you know, fate that's been dealt to you? Mm-hmm. For me, I guess it might have been Matilda. I just really loved the story, the kind of supernatural elements it had, you know, and of course, you know, the principle was, you know, a different kind of evil, right? It was wonderful to how Roald Dahl wrote about it and how, you know, she was finally vanquished in a sense. And just his writing style, the words, everything that he does, you know, it was just so wonderful. And it really opened up reading to me and also writing. It improved my writing a lot, you know, because I was so inspired by the way he wrote. So I really think, you know, any parent out there, you know, really get the box set for your kids. It's a wonderful foundation start.
We have another tweet that came in from Derek saying, well, with a whole list of favorite Roald Dahl books, The Witches, Matilda, The BFG, Going Solo, and George's Marvelous Medicine.
So many. And yes, you know, if you haven't read it, you know, do go and look for his children's books. They are wonderful. They're a great thing, you know, and especially now, just listening to all of this, I'm so, you know, I feel so inspired to go and read all of them again.
Yeah.
But,
And I mean, there are plenty of goodies for Roald Dahl Day available on RoaldDahl.com, including a whole series of deliciously disgusting readings of The Twits. So, you know, like you said, Julia, if anyone listening is interested to escape during this time, that is where you can go.
That's right. So I'm afraid we've run out of time, but you know, if you'd like to share your thoughts, you can always continue to tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. If you'd like to drop us a message, you can search for us on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can look for us on the BFM app, and we're also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, I'll be speaking to Alicia Teo and Dr. Tekwin Lim, who are founding members of the Shah Alam Community Forest Society. So I'm going to be asking them about a new proposal by the Shah Alam City Council, which will build a road right across this community forest. So we're going to be discussing that after the 3 p.m. news. For now, we're going to leave you with the Oompa Loompa song. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.